Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And Kevin reciting me during the news tweets.
Oh, there were some good ones last night. During the power outage, it was a good use of Twitter by Oreo. They sent out a half-blackened picture that said, you can still dunk during a blackout or in the dark. Tide sent out another one that was just a black background with a text that said, trying to think of how it was worded, we can't help a blackout, but we can get stains out. But Audi was the best of the bunch. They offered the Mercedes Superdome their halogen lights.
Well, look. CBS handled that.
Wow.
Now, they finally got their sea legs back a little bit, and I'll tell you who helped them get their sea legs. I think Solomon Wilcox was pretty solid when he was on. But Tracy Wolfson, don't know where she was, but there is a professional broadcaster who came on and did a little leg work, and I thought looked solid once she got on. Putting poor Steve Tasker in that spot was, I'm sorry, you can't get bowled over on the air. You need to have broadcast professionals. As simple as that. I mean, they have an entire network of them, the last I checked.
And a lot of them were there.
Not necessarily. This is not a spot where I put Jim Rome on. This is not a spot where, you know, this is a spot. They don't really have as many people there as you think. A talk show host is not a person I want in that spot either.
No,
I want somebody on there that is game savvy, stadium savvy, and can think on their feet.
Well, no, I was going back to JB, and Gumbel was probably somewhere nearby. I know he was at another set earlier in the day, but you can't tell me he wasn't at the game.
Yeah, I'm saying those are the people you put on. I don't even know Gumbel was there. I don't watch the mumbo jumbo at the beginning.
Yeah, he was there. He was there in the 4 o'clock hour.
Yeah. But he could have been up in a box. And if the elevator isn't running, you can't get him down from the box.
That's also true.
Okay. But JB was there, and that's where they should have gone. Somebody that you can go to that's the pro's pro, that can safely negotiate you through this, can explain it to everybody as to what's going on. Tasker tried, so believe me, I am not in any way putting down his effort at all, but he's a former player who doesn't have a lot of broadcast experience. Simple as that. In 1980, let me give you two examples, right? Two examples.
I think I know one.
Obviously, I'm going to talk about the Al Michaels example.
Right, right.
Of the earthquake. The other one is Jim McKay at the 1972 Munich Olympics.
I had them both, actually.
And each time, while not being news people, their ability to smoothly carry you through what has just happened, that's the ability of the broadcaster to think on their feet. And when you look at Al Michaels, who had the advantage, of course, of at one point being the San Francisco Giants play-by-play man, so he understands and knows the city of San Francisco. And when they came back, and it was a short period of time where they were able to get themselves back on, he explained first by phone line what had happened, and then was able to, once they were able to get video over the city, there's the Mission District. That's a fire that's probably on, that's a fire there right near the whatever street area. That's the Bay Bridge. That's the upper deck of the Bay Bridge. You can see part of the upper deck of the Bay Bridge is down. The Bay Bridge connects San Francisco with Oakland. And was commonly able to do that. Now, when we're talking about Munich, now we're going back 40 years. This is when the group Black September scaled the fence at Munich, got into the Olympic Village, and they took 11 members of the Israeli Olympic team hostage. They killed a couple of them right away. One of them was either a wrestling coach or a wrestler. I remember that. And Jim McKay, of course, has to come on during all of this and explain. And, of course, we have the brilliant shots of the absolute murderous coward out on the balcony. And that's what they all are. They're all murderous cowards in the end. There's no real cause except to be a murderous coward. And Jim McKay skillfully took us through that day. There was a point near the end of the standoff where they brought in helicopters and they brought them to the airport in Munich. And that's where it's either West German police or Munich police, one of the two, had set a trap for them. And, of course, in the process of this, the murderous cowards tossed a grenade into the helicopter and killed everybody. Now, we don't see any of this on TV because this is 1972. And it's also at night. And the infamous shot of Jim McKay on TV getting word from his producer and looking at the camera and saying, they're all gone.
It now said that there were 11 hostages. Two were killed in their rooms yesterday morning. Nine were killed at the airport tonight. They're all gone.
So, obviously, I've told the story correctly then. His ability as a broadcaster in a moment of crisis, going from spot to spot that day, brilliant. Now, that doesn't compare with a power outage. More of what Al Michaels did would be of that vein.
But you got to keep in mind, too, Jim McKay was on the air 14 straight hours that day.
And skillfully took us from one to the next to the next to the next.
Right. And by the way, you mentioned the World Series. Here's what happened, actually, when they finally got audio back. And it was audio over a phone line, the way you mentioned with CBS Radio Sports.
Well, I don't know if we're on the air or not, and I'm not sure I care in a moment, but we are. Well, folks, that's the greatest open in the history of television, bar none. Yes, it certainly did. We're still here. We are still, as we can tell, on the air, and I guess you are hearing us, even though we have no picture and no return audio, and we will be back, we hope, from San Francisco in just a moment.
But again, you know, one of the reasons why he is the best ever, you know, one of the best ever. Everyone has their own personal preferences. You know, I mean, again, that you have to have that ability. You know, and there, you know, and that when you get thrown a curveball like that, you have to handle it.
And I felt bad for JB at one point, too, because he kept saying power will be back on in about 15 minutes. And he said that about four times, which in my math is about 45 minutes. And it was almost 45 minutes anyway. But that's how difficult it was to kind of get information. I know Jim Harbaugh was told it was going to be about 20 minutes. You know, they're telling CBS it's going to be 15 minutes. Nobody had any clue because they had to recycle the system.
That's exactly right. But again, when you're putting lights back on, I have been in situations where lights have gone out, and I know how long it takes for lights to go back on. I've talked about it on the air many times. I mean, I've done games, for example, where a ceiling tile hit the floor near a bench. I've done games where lights went out. I have done, where a bank of lights went out in rec hall, and you have to talk your way through it. I have done games where officials were late. I have done, and I'm talking significantly late because of a snowstorm. I have done games where I was supposed to be on the air at 7:30, and it was a basketball court over a hockey rink, and they finished hockey practice late. So I had to do a pregame show, improvised, that instead of going 30 minutes, went an hour and 20 minutes because they were assembling the basketball court. I mean, so you run into all sorts of situations. So, yes, I've done things in power outages. I've done things where a ceiling tile came down that was on a rain-soaked night at Rec Hall. I've done games where the roof was leaking in Hartford, where a pregame show was delayed an hour and 10 minutes because of the assembly of a court. I've done a game where you've had to stop the game because of condensation on a court. I've done games where thunder and lightning came in and stopped a football game, right, in the pregame. We're about to start and then have to fill half hour because both teams were told to exit the field at Ohio State one day. So you just roll with the punches and also go with the information you were given. It's the best you can do.
By the way,
putting him in that spot was tough.
We should note, Steve, and I wanted to get this in before we went to break, was that the FBI, it did release a statement that it was not sabotage. They ruled that out. There was no fire, even though the New Orleans Fire Department was called.
Well, they have to be called.
Right. Well, they were called for a smell of gas, and then they had to free some people trapped in the elevator, obviously, because of the power out. So that's the latest word, but still no official reason. And you and I talked about this during the news. The reports from the officials at the Superdome were that the halftime show was actually all done by generator. And they're claiming that there was less power being used at the stadium at that point.
That's, you and I both know that's a cover-up.
I wonder about that.
I'm sick and tired of hearing about, you can see. I mean, I'm not stupid. I can see how much power they need to do the thing. You're going to tell me they got a whole bunch of guys, little Honda generators. Okay, go ahead, Beyonce.
We're ready to go. Start singing.
Come on. I'm just trying to take the pressure off her. Just tell me the truth. Okay? Why did it go out twice during the week when she rehearsed?
I wonder if that's where they brought the generators in, is after that fact. Or
they probably brought them in as backups.
Yeah.
Okay, but why? During the week, it is, okay, there are rumors running rampant that not once but twice during rehearsal that week that they blew the place out. Come on. What's next? You're going to tell me a video caused a problem in Libya? All right, we'll come back with more here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Oh, boy. Kevin wishes it happened at the Georgia Dome.
Yeah, I could have played Vicki Lawrence the night the lights went on in Georgia.
Yeah, that's wonderful. She was great in the Carol Burnett show.
She was. And Furman's family.
Yes, Furman in Point Township. Hi, Furman. Nice to have you back with us.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Yeah, I just happened to pick on him, and I really feel bad about this. You know that I,
no,
that
you
I
don't.
Had to harass him personally. No, I don't. But, no, seriously, and I, like I said earlier, I understand with the downtime, and I think everybody learned a hard lesson from that, and hopefully if it ever happens again, which I hope it doesn't, you know, those things won't occur where we have a lot of downtime and dead space and, you know, better information can be given. But, you know, we had a couple observations during the game, and I want to take your take on it and see what you think. Mm-hmm. You know, I noticed that the 49ers did not look like the same team there at the beginning that they did in the playoffs, and I'm wondering if part of it was the youngness of a quarterback and being in the environment that he was. I mean, that's a pretty big environment to be in, number one.
Well, for one, let me start with that. I think that you make a good point, except he got off to a slow start in every game. He threw an interception that Sam Shields ran back for a touchdown to give Green Bay the lead in the Green Bay game, and they fell behind by 17 points to Atlanta before they found their groove. It just seems like they just take a while to kind of figure out what they can and can't do, which I find surprising because everyone hails Jim Harbaugh as this great offensive genius as a quarterback and so forth. Well, don't you think your script would be better?
Well, and that's what was part of our talking last night. And the other thing was is, you know, how much beaten up do these guys get? And I don't mean it, you know, in a really bad way, but I mean it seems to be there's all these interviews and every place they got to be. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of time for them to work on what they need to work on to get ready for a game. You understand what I'm saying?
I know what you mean, except that first week is where all the serious work is done.
Okay. And we were just curious about that because, I mean, to me, to watch that game the way it turned out, they had momentum up until the Baltimore had momentum up until that the power went out. And if
right.
the power hadn't gone out, what would have happened? I mean, would have Baltimore really put more of a hurting on them? Which is a good question to really throw out there and ask. Not that I'm saying something bad happened because the power went out, but it just they really had, for lack of words, mojo to keep the game going. I mean,
well,
they really put it to the 49ers. They really did.
This is what I think. If the power had not gone out, I think the Ravens would have routed them. I think what happened with an older football team, and the Ravens in a lot of spots are an older football team, especially on defense. Ed Reed, Terrell Suggs coming back from injury, Ray Lewis, Nada's coming back from an injury. Time is long enough. Remember, halftime of the NFL is 12 minutes.
That's right.
Not at the Super Bowl. Okay, she ate up time like they do all the time. Okay,
yeah,
so it's 35, 40 minutes. Now you play for a little bit, and then you have to stop for 34. Well, you get, you know, you notice they're trying to run and run and run just to keep themselves going. With an older team, it is tough to come back. You get stiff. And for the 49ers, younger in most spots, it worked to their advantage because they're a little more limber, a little more live.
Bob, yep. And the last thing I wanted to ask, and I wanted your take on it, and I'm being serious because we were curious about this even today at work. You know, we brought it up. Had the 49ers ran the ball there at the end instead of passing, which I don't understand why he couldn't just run that ball in, they could have had that game. That's my own take, and maybe I'm way off base there, but it just seemed to me his leg power would have got them where they needed to go.
Right. You're not off base because if you notice, right, well, Furman, I don't mind passing the ball twice, but that third down play where they call timeout because Kaepernick, again, and this has been a bad habit of his, he takes that play clock down to the last because he's talking to the running back. He's talking like, just settle and run what you have. Okay?
Yep.
They called the timeout. That was a running play to the left for him, and it was open.
Yep, and I mean, I know this is armchair quarterback, and no way am I a pro, and I've only, you know, played sandlot football, and that was it. But, I mean, the reality is that I just watched that, and I thought, man, they had ample opportunity to take that game away from Baltimore, no questions asked.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a shame that it went down the way it did, really, you know?
Yeah, they did, but I'll tell you right now, Baltimore came out of the game. Flacco was fabulous from start to finish.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he deserved to be the MVP. He is without question one of the elite quarterbacks in the game now. Anybody would love to have him, especially at his age. Now that he has receivers to have now matched his talent and maturity, it has made a big difference because he had talent. He didn't have maturity. He didn't start developing maturity until maybe about two and a half years ago. Now he has the receivers to go with that combination.
Well, thank you for your take on this today, and you take care, guys.
Thanks, Furman. Appreciate it. Kevin will come back to analyze the national anthem. I'll talk about football at 1-800-795-9565.
That was a long
national
anthem.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the show. We started out today by airing a commercial.
Yeah, it was you talking.
It was 34-31. We started out by airing a K-Car commercial
it
or something.
It was just
Jerry's.
The music. It was just the music. All right, so I had a little William Dafoe in it. I thought
a little? He's in there a lot?
He's not in there a lot. He's got
He's playing the role of Lucifer.
He had like 10 words. They're good, but, you know.
10 words. I think he said a few more than 10 words.
Give or take a few.
I mean, it wasn't the same effect as John Lovitz on Saturday Night Live playing Satan.
No, it was not the same at all. You're right.
The one, he comes in dressed in the red outfit with the horns.
Uh-huh.
All right. And it's the people's court. And they find against him, and he comes out, and of course they have an actor playing Doug Llewellyn. he starts spiking, I can't believe it. It's not you, Doug. Sorry, Doug. And he looks at the camera, follow me. Lovitz is such a clown.
It was a little darker than Lovitz's version. You're right.
Much darker until it came up as 29.9 on the Mercedes.
But that was funny, though. The line after that is funny. He goes, I can afford that. I don't need your contract.
I don't need it. I don't need your deal. Well, it's great to have you with us here on this Monday. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. They have been with us since day one. And this week marks the one-year anniversary of the show. How about that? Kevin's kind of felt he's been living the same life as that guy in the Mercedes commercial. But one year this week, we've done this show.
Actually, Sarah Bartlett and I were talking about that this morning.
Oh, I wonder. Well, she's been a big part of it.
Well, she's also been giddy this week.
I understand.
Or not this week, today.
She should be. Her team won the Super Bowl. That's great.
I did. I sent her a text right afterwards. I said, congratulations. Very happy for you.
Okay. Now, very quickly, I want to mention the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. It's powered by Hilscher's Store. They're located on Susquehanna Trail, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. They have everything in there. Bakery, deli, food area. Okay. Fabulous. I mean, you can stop by and get a fabulous meal, right? The country store, boots, jackets, great outerwear. I was freezing walking to teach class this morning. The wind was blowing. Could have used 8 coats from Hilscher's General Store. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. And, of course, the Sunbury Motors Studio where I reside right now. Sunbury Motors is located 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15. In Hummel's Wharf. All right, now let's get to the Kevin Herr rant of the day. See, this is where you need to pre-produce this so we have music to go with it.
Oh, is that what it is? I need to pre-produce this with music?
I'm going to say 2 words and let the rant begin.
Okay.
Jerome Bettis.
Well, the rant already started. I mean, you probably shut your phone off on Saturday night. It is a travesty. It is absolute travesty that Warren Sapp makes the Hall of Fame before Jerome Bettis. Now, does Warren Sapp belong in the Hall of Fame? Sure. Does he belong in the Hall of Fame right now? No. Jerome Bettis's numbers easily have him into the Hall of Fame. Easily have him into the Hall of Fame. I would like someone to explain to me why that hasn't happened yet.
Numbers. And it's going to get more difficult as time goes.
Well, the further it goes, the harder it's going to be. But
new
the
names
numbers
come
are
up
there.
Every year.
1,000 yards, year after year after year.
Comeback player of the year. Yeah. I mean, certainly had a great career. I think he's above the line, so I think he can get in. Next year, for example, Tony Dungy's on that list. Marvin Harrison's on the list next year. But you have guys from this year, too. Will Shields. Will Shields didn't make it.
8 of 13 years over 1,000 yards. Averaged 4 yards a carry for his career. 91 touchdowns in his career.
4 yards a carry for his career is not...
I'd take 4 yards a carry. I would take 4 yards a carry.
I don't know. You're not talking about Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, Jim Brown. They're all pro round five.
But you give this guy the football, and you never have a you barely have a third down, averaging 4 yards a carry. It's third and two. I'd take third and two. Now, there are five guys on the all-time rushing list higher than him. Four of them are already in the Hall of Fame. Do you know why the one isn't? He's not eligible yet.
And he will be, and he'll get in.
Right. It's a travesty. Travesty, I tell you.
I'm glad you used travesty. Because I looked at it at first, I thought, tragedy.
No. Well, it could be a tragedy.
I'm like, how warped is that? It's just the Hall of Fame.
Did my autocorrect spell it differently? Is that what it is?
No. I looked at it first. Went, oh, okay, he said travesty. Good. Travesty is a good word.
Travesty. Warren Sapp is not a first-year guy. Not. Is it because he's on the NFL Network? Is that why he's a first-year guy? Is he still on NFL Network, by the way? Used to be. It's just wrong. Simple as that. It's just wrong.
I'm just giving you room to rant.
No, I've ranted. I ranted all night Saturday night. I had my plans ready. I was looking for hotel rooms. And then Warren Sapp. Chris Carter, I'm even okay with Chris Carter in there. I'm even okay with that.
Well, I'm glad you're okay with that.
I'm even okay with Jonathan Ogden.
Well, you should be. He's one of the best tackles going.
Yeah I realize.
That's why Will Shields not getting in. I'm like, yeah. I'll tell you a guy who's not going to make the cut next year. Will not be one of the – it will be Art Modell.
I was really surprised he wasn't there.
When his name came up in the room – okay, you're not supposed to release these things, but like I've read enough. He's never going to make it.
Really? Is it because of the move?
That's part of it, yes.
Yeah.
Yep. But, I mean, people get up and they make speeches about candidates. And I guess when his name came up, he has no chance. He's never going to make it. How about that?
I just Warren Sapp. No. That one bugged me.
Well, single most dominant defensive tackle of his career versus a guy basically average power back.
Average power back that would take a team on his back. Average power back. Give me a break.
Glorified Barry Foster.
Oh, come on. You got to be kidding me. Even in his worst year, he fumbled six times. and still had 1,600 yards that year.
He's a poor man's Ray Rice.
Oh, that's no.
You know I'm just having fun with you right now. That's all. I'm tormenting you.
I know.
Right?
I know. I know. And the man's got a 300 game even. I mean, come on. How many running backs in the Hall of Fame have a 300 game? He'd be in actually two Hall of Fames.
I'll tell you what he was a liability. He was not a very good pass receiver out of the backfield.
No, no. What, he only have 1,000 yards? Yeah, about 1,500 yards.
Yeah. I mean, he was not a very good receiver out of the backfield. He didn't give you a lot of versatility. He wasn't a very good blocker in the backfield either.
Yeah, but you don't pay him to block.
Well, you do if you're trying to protect your quarterback.
I pay him to get third and two first downs, and he did that well. He'd be in two Hall of Fames. He'd be in the Bowling Hall of Fame for his 300 in St. Louis, and he'd be in Canton. But no, Warren Sapp's there.
Was dominant man at his position for years.
Blah, blah, blah. Thus endeth the rant.
No, I'm not a big Warren Sapp guy. Never have been. I really felt Warren Sapp was, when I'm thinking about defensive tackles, I'm thinking about somebody who's absolutely dominant at the line of scrimmage, that you need two guys to block him at all times. And even then, it doesn't matter. Warren Sapp never gave me that feeling. Whether it's Tampa Bay or Oakland, he never gave me that feeling. I felt there was a lot of... Let me put it this way. Warren Sapp always gave me the Keyshawn Johnson feeling. Good,
yeah.
Not great.
Yeah.
Lot of bluster, not a lot to back it up.
He talked an awful lot.
Right. I was happy and thrilled for Dave Robbins. You ever meet Dave?
No, I never have.
I don't know him, but I've been around Dave at various times over the last 30 years. First of all, one of the funniest, more outgoing guys you've ever want to meet. What a great sense of humor he has. As a player, he was a great player for Vince Lombardi in Green Bay. Now, that's where he spent most of his career. I think the last 2 years of his career he spent with the Redskins with George Allen. But when he was at Green Bay, you had a defense. Willie Davis was incredible. Ray Nitschke was great, but Robinson was on the outside at that linebacking spot, and he'd been an All-American here at Penn State. He played both tight end here, and he played linebacker. And you put him on the outside, good-sized linebacker too, or number 89, and you put him out there, and he'd make just play after play, really good against the pass, very good at getting to the quarterback. And this, I've always been... One of the things I've always been really, really happy about in my personal life is I feel like I grew up in the right era. Because I saw Dave Robinson play. So when we talk about, and I saw Curly Culp play. So when we talk about guys from another era, because too many younger ESPN broadcasters and the perspective gets lost on those who played in an era before ESPN. And I've always been thrilled that I've been able to say I saw it. I watched it. I know I'm watching them, remember how good they were, and I can compare them to today. That's why when we've talked about LeBron James, I've said, hey, what about Elgin Baylor? What about Bill Russell? What about, these are guys I know that were great players in their own era that would be great players today. When we were talking last week about Kaepernick and the pistol and the read option, I made the point and said, look, you have to have a certain individual that can run it. The ones in the three guys in this league that can really run it are RG3, Cam Newton, and Kaepernick. There aren't a lot of those guys out there who can throw the ball well enough to really make it work. And as I pointed out last week, Bobby Orr revolutionized the game of hockey. Correct?
Sure.
All right. But you never saw Orr play, did
no.
you?
No. No, I only saw highlights. I mean, no. Film and stuff like
I
that.
I saw Orr play. I saw Orr play a lot.
Every Saturday afternoon in New England, the Bruins were on. Every Saturday. Then, of course, you get to the playoffs. I saw Orr play a lot. Orr owned and dominated every game he played in. He revolutionized the game. Now let's think back. Okay? Over the past 40 years. What other defensemen play the game like Bobby Orr? None. We see a sprinkling here or there. Dennis Potvin was pretty good at rushing the puck. Brad Park was pretty good at rushing the puck. Paul Coffey was great at rushing the puck, but Paul Coffey was a liability defensively. Orr was a great defenseman. So when we look at what Colin Kaepernick has done with the read option, and everybody's on the read option bandwagon, correct?
Oh, there's no question. Everybody's starting to look for a quarterback that can do that.
Guess what? There aren't any.
Not the way Kaepernick throws the ball. I was really impressed with that.
There aren't any. Quarterbacks coming out this year, who are the top quarterbacks? Geno Smith, Matt Barkley, Mike Glennon. Where's your Kaepernick? Which one? Which one of those guys runs the read option? None of them. You might be able to find a form of it, a variance of it. But you know what? Bobby Orr revolutionized the game. Today, there are no Bobby Orrs.
May I throw two more statistics out?
Of course.
All right. Jerome Bettis had over 15,000 yards from scrimmage.
We're back to that.
That's more. That's almost 1,700 more than John Riggins, who also, by the way, averaged 3.9 a carry. And my final one is, in 13 years, Bettis has lost 41 fumbles. That's one every 85 carries. That's better than Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton, Eric Dickerson, and Sanders. And what do they all have in common? That's correct. They're in the Hall of Fame. Now I'm done.
Brutal. All right. I thought I was talking about people who revolutionized the game, and you bring me back to somebody who's a throwback to the Ernie Nevers era. All right, we'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
I think Gina Davis is in the Archery Hall of Fame. Today's show is brought to you by
Gina Davis? Yeah, but she's not going to go to the Football Hall of Fame.
Sure, she buys the ticket, same as Jerome. All right, today's show.
Wow. Oh, man. I'm going to need some blood time for that one.
Come on. I'm just kidding. You know, Jerome Bettis should be in the Hall of Fame.
Thank you.
You know, but until he's there, I am going to torture you with it.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Another reason why I don't what?
Pay attention to sports.
No. I pay intense attention to the sports, obviously.
You don't pay attention to the outside.
No. Well, I don't do that much either. But I don't root for individuals. I don't peg my emotions on, unless it's somebody I know. If it's somebody I know, then it's different. Like, if they were to honor you for something, I would be the first guy that would show up for it. Okay.
I appreciate that.
Jerome Bettis goes to the Hall of Fame. I don't care.
I was ready. I had our bags packed. We're going to show you the theater. It was going to be great.
Yeah. Maybe I'll do a series at Mahoning Valley this year and just drive over myself. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And also, Hilscher's General Store hotline at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store. On the Susquehanna Trail, just 7 miles south of Sealands Grove, you go to www.hilscherstore.com. In the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I don't quite get play calling by the 49ers at the end of the first half and at the end of the game. Now, the safety thing, I'd even said, as soon as I got the ball back, I said, look, just run three plays. I said, then take a safety. Okay, the worst thing's going to happen to you is they can somehow hit a play, kick a field goal, tie it. I said, the worst thing can happen is that you try to punt and block it.
And it becomes 6 points.
And then on top of it, even worse, which is the game winner. Even worse, I mean, just as bad is you punt the ball and you've committed so many people to blocking the block because they had 10 guys up the line of scrimmage. Ginn then gets a free run. So, you know, take the safety.
Also a great idea to run around for a few seconds and then hop out of bounds. I thought that was really heads up.
Well, I expected that. That's what I expected him to do, take as much time as possible. What laughed about that was the incredible holding on the play, which doesn't matter. I mean, because what does it matter? You're taking a safety, so everybody's going to hold.
That's a good point. It's going to be a safety anyway.
It's going to be a safety anyway, so you hold your brains out up front.
I never thought about that.
And they are not. It's going to be a safety anyway for holding while he's in the end zone. All right, and the 49ers are not going to take the penalty. Okay? They can't. They need the ball back. So you tell everybody, look, I don't care what you do, hold. Well, they did. Because you're going to get 2 points regardless. You're going to give up 2 points regardless. You're just going to eat up more time in the clock. It was brilliant.